and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to think and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents
We Love the Earth.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, June 15th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We go to show right now with breaking news out of Aloha, Oregon, just in Washington County. We get word chatters that there are sheriffs at the door of the Wake and Bake Cannabis Club and crime tape around the scene. I've got the tweets out to my minions out there. We'll see who here in Oregon calls in and gives us a little more detail on that. But that's what we're hearing right now in our breaking news here in the state of Oregon, our first law enforcement actions against medical marijuana providers. Normally at this time, we'd be turning to the pirate Ganja John. Unfortunately, he can't be with us today. It's such a shame. We miss him.
Thar be pirates
no.
here.
Oh, Dan, I'm afraid there's no pirates here today. But joining us in John's seat here is Calico the intern. Welcome back.
Aloha.
Aloha. From Aloha.
Yeah.
I got in such trouble when I moved to Oregon. I kept saying, what is this town? Aloha. And they're like, it's Aloha.
How dare you pronounce it properly?
I know.
On the campaign trail, I'm calling it Aloha, and there's nothing they can do about it.
The Hawaiian thing, how can they say no?
Yeah.
All right. We also have Cannabis Carrie in Grass-Story, Oregon. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hi, I'm willing to step up and be your resident pirate. There's lots of pirates out here on the coast.
Oh, good. That's right. You know, you're right there on the ocean, so there's got to be a pirate
That's
or two.
Right.
Shanghaied in Astoria.
You can't see me. Yeah, you can't see me, but I'm putting my patch on right now.
All right. Isn't in that the Shanghaied in Astoria? You know, the pirates used to Shanghai people?
Well, it actually wasn't the pirates. It was the fishermen, but yes. They would be pirates. I mean, that's sort of illegal to kidnap people and force them into slavery.
Yeah, I think once you kidnap someone and force them into slavery on your fishing boat, you're a pirate. I think that's
right.
The rule. All right, Carrie, what do we got in our hemp headlines today?
Okay, let's see. What do we have today? Well, we're going to go to one of the oldest fertilizer companies finally coming around to the fact that, hey, there's some more marijuana growers in our country. Also, the ACLU is stepping in between their law in Michigan. The Arizona would-be dispensary owners are not taking this delay in them getting their applications and lying down. And, Russ, you're not going to believe the police whining about in Connecticut now that they're looking towards decriminalization.
Oh, I'm sure I'll believe it. Coming up after that, too, we've got our Irie Wednesday music, and debuting today, our brand new Irie Music Wednesday editor, NorCal Perps.
I'm so stoked for this.
Yeah, so we got some NorCal Perps music coming up, and after that, at 5:30, we're going to go with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our Cannabis Science segment. We always talk to Dr. Mitch on Wednesday, so get your questions ready on cannabis science, health, history, culture, anything you might want to know. Dr. Mitch will probably have the answer for you, or know where to find it. And then at the end of the show, a radical rant. I'm going to take a look at the use of tasers in America, something I've been focused on for a long, long time. And this latest case out of Canada, well, it's really got me a little angry. Time for a little ranting at the end of the show. All that and more coming up on Normal Show Live.
This is Normal Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Hey, you're broadcasting on StickCam, right? Now, big up to the people at StickCam. I on still.tv, BBL StickCam. So big up to everybody watching for this page. I know your show. I support you. Remember that. Y'all watch that show, too, because the more informed you can be about this whole movement, the better. Because we got... It takes all of us to have this knowledge to be able to use it to obtain that legalization. We can get it.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrests that 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org. Our call toll free 888-67-NORMAL.
In England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President. Marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
We are breaking in right now in our news segment here because
one of the most popular and oldest garden fertilizer in...
I'm sorry, Carrie. We had someone calling in on the line, and I encourage people to call in on this Aloha story on the raids here in Oregon. So let's check to see if that caller's on the line. 503, can you hear me? Turn up the Skype. Those two. There you go. 503 code, can you hear me out there? Caller? Oh, I think we lost him here. Let me try and call back and see if we get... I do believe this is one of our activists here in Oregon calling in on this breaking news story. So, sorry about this, Carrie. I want to make sure that we get this covered if it's really happening. The latest reports we heard is Sheriff's Department.
Hello,
this is Radical Russ from Normal Show Live. You're on the air. You just tried to call into the show?
Yeah, this is Iva.
Oh, hi. We're calling. Did you have any more details for us on the raid happening in Aloha?
No, I was trying to contact them. No one answered.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. And if we get some more details on this, we'll break into news again and let people know about that. Carrie, I'm so sorry for breaking into you and interrupting, but go ahead with your story.
No problem. One of the fertilizer and seed companies has taken an interest in the medical marijuana market that they have so far largely ignored. Scott's Miracle-Gro, a staple in home and garden stores, was founded in 1868 by Orlando Scott, then merged with Miracle-Gro, a gardening company, in 1995. The company sells $3 billion in products worldwide every year. Scott's chief executive, Jim Hadger, Wall Street, said that the company is looking into ways to expand and that they're considering a move to help boost sales. He told them they want to target the pot market. He also told the Wall Street Journal that there's no good reason that they haven't yet. The company based in Marysville, Ohio, relies on Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart, bulk of their sales, nearly two-thirds of their revenue. And since the massive expansion of those stores had slowed in the last 2 years, growth has become difficult. Now, the regional salesmen for the company are looking for smaller pockets with potential growth to help bolster sales. They also want to recultivate their ties to smaller and independent lawn and garden stores, as well as trying to get their products on grocery store shelves. The marijuana growing market is the perfect niche to make up for lost profits. The idea target growers may expand to creating their own line of products that are indoor and marijuana specific. The first time a large gardening company has done so. A report this year estimated that the legal medical marijuana market in the 16 states that recognize it will reach $1.7 billion in sales this year, and there is already a thriving existing market for hydroponic supplies, equipment, and nutrient products. Scott wants a slice of those profits. The company has spent research money lately to try and balance eco-friendly and all-natural products against its traditional lawn care and weed killers, a healthy attitude if they want to enter the homes of American closet growers that estimate to be in the millions in both legal and non-legal states. Not that they already aren't in a few of those closets. Jim Hagedorn knows that his products have turned up in some marijuana growing raids. He takes that as a good sign of brand awareness.
Well, who is it that makes that that blackjack soil, Carrie? I mean, isn't that what the growers all go for right now?
You know, I don't know. I'm not a grower.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on here. But, you know, it just seems obvious that they would want to expand into this market. And imagine the market that could be expanded, you know, if we spread medical marijuana all across this country, or better yet, just legalize for everyone, have them be able to grow their own little closet grows, have it be out in the open. Again, we're looking for growth industries here in this country. We're looking for ways of boosting this economy. It seems obvious to me that the only thing we make in America anymore is marijuana, and we should just start taking advantage of that.
The Michigan chapter of the ACLU was in court yesterday arguing that just because marijuana remains illegal under federal law doesn't mean that Michigan's medical marijuana law is illegal. The case surrounds a Livonia ordinance that bans medical marijuana, not just dispensing it, but actual medical marijuana in any form. The township based their ordinance on the idea that federal law trumps the 2008 Michigan medical marijuana law, and the city has a right to enforce own laws regarding the subject. Attorney Andrew Nickelhoff argued on behalf of a local MS patient that Livonia is ignoring state laws. He told County Circuit Court Judge Wynn Baxter that Livonia is not a sovereign state, but a creature of state law. And as a community within the state, they can't force the states to, quote, march in lockstep with the federal government on the medical marijuana issue. He told Judge Baxter that is already that it leads to make their own way, and he noted that nothing in the Michigan law prohibits the federal government from going after illegal marijuana dealers. So the city has stepped over their line of authority. Nickelhoff is representing Linda Lott, who has suffered with MS for three decades, fined to a wheelchair, is blind, and her symptoms can no longer be controlled by conventional medications. The new ordinance in Livonia prohibits her husband from cultivating the plant and prohibits her from using it. Cannabis helps her cope and relieves the agonizing pain that she experiences daily. The attorney for Livonia, Michael Fisher, is arguing that the city has the right to criminalize any activity that it deems unsafe for its residents. He says the city has concerns over trying to control the growth of the use of medical marijuana and that it may trigger more crimes in the area. He says that the federal government doesn't recognize medical marijuana in the city, that Livonia doesn't have to either. He said that Congress has made it clear that marijuana is prohibited. The American Civil Liberties Union says that Livonia ordinance is in direct violation with Michigan state law, which states that registered patients and their caregivers shall not be subject to arrest, prosecution, or penalty, and they contend that that is exactly what the Lots are experiencing with the new city ordinance. There will be a second hearing on the issue on June 30th.
Well, these city leaders and cops in Livonia, Michigan, you know, have a pretty pathetic understanding of what Republican representative democracy really means here. Do you really mean to say that you're going to be in a town in the middle of a state where that state had 2 out of 3 people who voted support a particular law, and you don't like the way that turned out, so you're going to go whining and screaming to Uncle that you don't like it? Uncle Sam, they're legalizing medical marijuana. We don't like it. That's the way you're going to, that's the way you believe democracy works here. That if you don't get your way at the local level, you go scream and whine to the feds to get your way. That's not the way it works. Livonia, Michigan. It's called Livonia, Michigan. It's not called Livonia, United States. It's not called District of Livonia that's run by Congress. It's Livonia, Michigan. This is something, you know, and it's... not surprising considering how little we teach civics and government and all of that in our schools anymore. It's not surprising at all that people don't understand what this country is really all about. When these colonies were formed, they were 13, like, independent little nations that got together and decided to form one union. That's what we're all about. And that federal government is supposed to be limited in powers, and we're really supposed to be laboratories of democracy, our little states here. And if a few of our states decide they want to allow medical use of marijuana, then by God, the cities in those states have got to recognize that law.
The state of Arizona has put the brakes on allowing dispensaries in the state that were included in the recently passed medical marijuana law. The state was to begin the application process to accept dispensaries into the program beginning on June 1st, but Governor Jan Brewer, acting in response to a letter she received by the state's attorney cautioning that marijuana is still illegal under federal law, has decided to sue the federal government instead to help her clarify what will and will not be allowed before going forward with the program. Attorneys for some of the proposed dispensaries have now filed a lawsuit to try and force the agency that regulates the state's medical marijuana program to begin to accept applications as required by the law. The Arizona Department of Health Services was appointed to oversee the program, but on advice of the governor's office has so far refused to accept any applications until the state lawsuit has handed down a ruling, a process that could take months or even years. The department director, Will Humble, says he will not accept any applications until the legality of the program has been determined by the lawsuit. Attorneys representing some of the would-be dispensaries filed their own suit on Tuesday, saying, "We are hopeful that they will move forward with the program." And attorney Ryab Hurley says that they are in new territory here. He has never been in a situation where lawyers had to compel a state department to move forward with a law that was enacted by the people. Even though the state has not implemented the law's dispensary provision, they are continuing to accept and process applications by patients and their caregivers. There have been about 5,000 applications in Arizona.
Only when it comes to DeGo Howard's legislators and departments and cops to actually follow the laws. It's really a strange situation. It's the drug war exception to all logic and reason and jurisprudence in Arizona, along with Livonia, Michigan. Same idea here. We don't want to license dispensaries, even though the people of our state told us to, because Uncle Sam said it's not good. We better not do it. Uncle Sam said we better not. Oh, come on here. You just don't like the marijuana. You don't like the people that are using the marijuana, and you're relying on federal ignorance and intransigence to justify your prejudices and treating people unequally and not recognizing the will of the people in a democracy.
And Connecticut cops are facing the new decriminalization measures in their state that make less than a half of an ounce of marijuana in the state a civil offense of a ticket dollars. Now, Police Chief Anthony Salvatore of the Cromwell Police Force and the co-chair for the Connecticut Chiefs of Police Association says that it is a problem for police in the state since they do not have enough certified. The new on July will need whether someone has more than a half an ounce of marijuana. Salvatore said if someone gets caught with a joint or a rail, that is obviously within the limits, but a baggie full of cannabis has an uncertain amount of weed, and they will need certified scales in case the incident ends up in court. But it doesn't seem to be a problem for neighboring Massachusetts that decriminalized cannabis back in 2008. Sergeant John Delaney of the Spring says he and his civilization measures were adopted is that there is a bit more extra paperwork in some of the cases. He said that he has not seen an increase or additional problems since they changed the laws. He said he has no reports of people openly smoking cannabis, something that opponents of decrim back in 2008 warned about. But he does think that Massachusetts's 1 ounce limit instead of the half an ounce makes it easier to judge by sight the amount of marijuana someone is holding. Also different from the two neighboring states is the evidence that police need to have before they can search a car or a person. The Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled earlier this year that since marijuana possession was decriminalized, police need more to conduct a search other than simply smelling smoke. The legislation that was passed in Connecticut was structured so that the Connecticut police will not need the same degree of suspicion in order to conduct a search. Any probable cause is still enough to let a Connecticut police officer search for more evidence. And even if you have a scale in your possession, you don't have to be helpful here. It's probably best to let the police figure out just what your bag weighs.
Oh, well, I was going to have Coleco have us show a quick little, you know, them little gold hang-up, you know, hang-your-bag little scales. Why don't we just send a whole bunch of those to Connecticut? Or better yet, let's just change the law. Let's not have it be half ounce is okay for possession. Let's go back to the days of the four-finger bag and the two-finger bag. You're allowed to possess a three-finger bag and no cops with skinny fingers. The cops all must have a size 7 ring finger for this to count. Oh, my God. Hey, thanks so much, Carrie, for the news. Appreciate that story. Oh, we got to take a break. We've got Anthony Johnson trying to call in from Pro Oregon and Voter Power to give us information on this raid in Alloa, Oregon. We're going to take a break, try to get him on the line. Back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Another episode of Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre. I'm your host, Leonard Pinth-Garnell III. Tonight we revel in the hilarity of acquiring cannabis when miscommunication occurs between the cannabis delivery service and the consumer. The Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company presents the classic David's Not Present piece, made famous by Richard Merrin and Thomas Chong. Enjoy.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David. Pray grant me immediate passage, good sir. I come bearing a package of great import.
Hark! Who goes there?
It is I, David, as I previously informed you. Make haste in unlatching this portal, for I believe the constable hath cast his visage upon me. I bring you the package you seek.
'Tis David?
Affirmative, my good man. 'Tis David. Now open this door forthwith.
David's not present.
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm Leonard Pinth-Garnell III.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get to Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey there, Normal Show Live Stashers. NorCal Perps here, bringing you this week's Irie Wednesday tune. This week I have a group that is very dear to me, Catch a Fire. A group that's from New Zealand and formed in 1997, who took their name from Bob Marley and the Wailers album. They started out as a tribute band and have since recorded and released 4 albums. Australia, Europe, and the US, playing other international reggae acts such as Gentlemen. Catch a Fire were also the only Pacific act to appear on the tour. As part of Bag Him Up and Turf and Let the Fire with Irie.
when you're caught up in that lost situation. Yeah. How did you get yourself out of it?
Copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Davey Tucker.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug law reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists reassembling to petition our government for a redress of our grievances, specifically regarding our inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness through the use of cannabis for medical, social, and personal reasons. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we are pro-marijuana. Every Monday, we take some time to talk to citizens in local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Roots Action.
It's not Monday, and obviously, we've got a few things to change here. We're kind of adjusting things on the fly. Normally, we'd be talking to Dr. Mitch Earlywine at this time, but we've got breaking news here in the state of Oregon, and joining us by telephone from Pro Oregon, and pardon me for the misintroduction earlier, but from Oregon Green Free and Pro Oregon is Anthony Johnson. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, Russ. Thanks a lot.
Hey, tell us what's happening. What's the latest out there in Aloha?
So what I saw, because I decided to head out and see for myself, because I saw on some chat rooms and message boards about a potential raid at the Wake and Bake Cannabis Lounge, so I decided to drive off for myself, drove out there. I saw a Washington County K-9 unit SUV pulled up right next to the door, as well as like an unmarked cop car, clearly like parked right next to the entrance of their driveway. I could see an officer inside talking to somebody. I snapped a picture of the SUV K-9 unit, but I hung out for a bit, but did not see anybody getting arrested or any kind of raid of, like, evidence being carted out, but it was definitely suspicious that a unit SUV is pulled right up next to the door.
Well, you know, it's a cannabis lounge. It's called Wake and Bake. I don't really think they need the dogs, do they? I mean, it's not like... But this is you know, seriously, though, this is the first of these types of law enforcement incursions that I can recall in my, you know, 5-6 years of activism here up in the metro Portland area. I understood there was some actions down in southern Oregon earlier this year. What do you know about as far as this being the first area?
Yeah, definitely the first I've heard about. In the area, of course, we've had this, like, 3 dispensary-type places raided in Grants Pass. It's, you know, to me, it's to be expected that we would see some raids or law enforcement encounters to start occurring outside of Multnomah County, where local law enforcement is not favorable toward these establishments. But this is certainly the first I've heard from this greater Portland metro area. I will mention I gave a call into... because they also operate within that same county, gave them a heads up. They said they were going to likely send somebody over to keep an eye on it as well. So if they report back to me, I'll make sure they report back to you so we can get some new evidence. News as
sure, I'm here in the day, 971-533-7111. So if you're on site, if you're seeing what's going on, or you hear more information, news that's breaking as far as raids go in this country, you know, anywhere in the medical marijuana states, feel free to give us a call. We'll get you on the air and get this news out to the marijuana nation. You can also send me twit pics via Russ Archer's up on the web. Get them up live on the this is the advantage we have, is the social network. Get this info as quickly as possible. Now, Anthony Johnson with Pro Oregon and Oregon Green Free, you know, this the timing also on this has to be questioned, because, of course, the Oregon Senate just passed the bill to, you know, anywhere from double to times 20 the medical marijuana card fees for annual registration. And there's been a lot of attempts by law enforcement to crack down on this program. What do you think of the timing?
I mean, it's always just when Dwight Holkin commented, he was hoping to give some kind of boost to his law enforcement buddies who are hoping to pass legislation to curtail or retract or enter the medical marijuana program. That as we were able to affect at the legislature to turn back all the attacks at the program, then the letter to the dispensaries and clubs to go out, the threats of federal prosecution and forfeiture, and now the raising of the fees, and now potential raids and law enforcement encounters going on. It definitely seems like a coordinated attack upon the program.
Yeah, and we are here live. in Portland, Oregon, and we're just getting reports of there in Washington County. Rob Gordon, he's always been an opponent of medical marijuana, and one story that we once told of him was about him publishing the addresses based of suspected medical marijuana grow sites at great danger to the community there. We've got Anthony, if you hold on the line here, we've got another caller calling in. It's a 503 area code, so we'll go to this call. 503, you're on with Toker Talk Radio. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Ion Dry here in Aloha, and we're looking at two sheriffs, one SUV and one with the trunk open, and one of the officers is putting boxes in the trunk.
Yeah, that corroborates basically what Anthony was telling us here. So yeah. You can't really tell what's in the boxes. Are they hauling out? Do you think it's plants or is it equipment, computers?
Couldn't see any plants, but we just got here, so we're going to sit for a little bit. Maybe I can get a picture I can send off to you.
Yeah, get some pictures. Send them through my Twitter account, Radical Russ. We can get those on the air as soon as possible. Thanks, Ion Drive, for giving us the eyes on the ground there. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, this is what we're going to do here at Normal Show Live. We're going to keep the eyes on this issue and make sure that all of this is covered and recorded. Now, Anthony Johnson, we were talking about Rob Gordon, the sheriff there in Washington County. What things will your organizations, Pro-Oregon, Oregon Green Free, and the rest of the community do to try to fight back against guys like Gordon?
Well, one, I think when they come up for re-election, we got to boot some of these guys and guys out of office, and we need to make the message known loud and clear that law enforcement resources are better spent after real crime and not harassing people for medical marijuana, for sure.
Absolutely. And one of the problems that we have in working through this medical marijuana issue is the conflation of medical marijuana with recreational use and the years and years of stereotyping and prejudice that have gone against cannabis consumers in general. I want to play a clip for you, Anthony, and this from yesterday on the Senate floor, and it's Oregon Senator Bates introducing this bill that came from the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. And I want to play the clip for you, then I'll get your reaction. Hold on just a sec.
The Joint Committee on Ways and Means, and let me explain what the Joint Committee on Ways and Means really is just for a moment. When you consider this bill, there's a small part of it that that pertains to used pain. The Committee on Ways and Means is a committee comprised of people from the House and the Senate. It has nothing to do with the other part with me. So, committee else and the Senate. Thank you.
Yeah, so, a joint committee joke from a senator introducing a bill that would turn 20,000 Oregonians back into criminals and be most sick, disabled, and economically disadvantaged of them. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's simply unconscionable for, a doctor, nonetheless.
Oh, he's a doctor.
He's the doctor. Fenneron Bates is a doctor. He actually has signed a few medical marijuana cards. he is himself a doctor, and it's a shame that a doctor be willing to make jokes like that and be willing to push legislation that is going to do harm to disabled ones. There's no harm. He's certainly doing harm to many patients.
All right, so let's get people activated, mobilized here. Anson from Pro Oregon and from Oregon Green Free, give us some resources, some contacts for people to catch up with you on the web and to help fight this battle.
Yeah, OregonGreenFree.org and ProOregon.org. Check us out on Twitter, on Facebook, and we will definitely be on the front lines working to protect the program and ensuring that a patient has safe access to the best of our ability under the law.
All right. Thank you so much, Anthony Johnson, for calling in on short notice. We appreciate it. And, again, good luck in everything you're doing.
Thanks a lot, Russ. Talk to you soon.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Dr. Mitch Earlywine answers your questions in cannabis science, so get them ready.
Starfish Design. Makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 I'm having trouble saying that.
Cannabinoids.
Jeez. Oh,
cannabinoids.
What a gift. Play more, play more. It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor and the understanding of cannabis science.
Well, first of all, Dr. Mitch, for adjusting yourself to the fly story. I hope you hear that last segment well, and especially that who I've now found out the Oregon Senator Dr. Alan Bates making his little joint subcommittee joke. Did you get to hear that?
Yeah, I just caught the tail end there, but I mean the sentiment is what bothers me is that this is still treated as a joke while literally as we speak somebody's probably getting carted off to jail. That's just, you know, completely offends and sad.
Yeah, you know, and part of the issue again is, you know, raising these fees on patients where someone who's on, say, food stamps, you know, is paying $20 for his card and for to grow his that one, $200 for his card and $200 for his grower's card. So basically, you know, multiply times 20 what he's used to paying, you know, and it goes back to that, you know, first do no harm. The harm we're going to be doing to these people by forcing them to go back to pharmaceuticals, back to the black market, is just sad.
Well, and the thing that really bothers me is that was the whole point of medical cannabis in the first place, because marijuana is so expensive per pill, because these farmers, even for by insurance, can be, and now purpose by adding $400 a year is just retarded.
Yeah, it's such a shame. And the other story, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, but we've got it published up on normal.org right now. Paul Armentano posted that story on the monkey HIV.
It turns out I spoke to a monkey HIV researcher who wasn't on part of this study, and he says this is really a novelty, that this is not the kind of thing that just happens, that there are tons of truly would do this. And the other thing that I really want to emphasize is it's not as if these monkeys were on the antiretroviral drugs. So this is really AIDS at its most powerful, and THC is still helping. I think that's really something incredible now, and I certainly hope that this arrives and say we need to help the sickest of the sick by essentially letting us have the plant that's been around for thousands of years.
And I think part of this, too, is education for doctors, even, in that I still think there's some of them that just think that cannabis, you know, oh my gosh, he's dying of cancer, so you might as well let him get high. And they don't really see that, no, this is actually helping their symptoms, helping stave off the progression of their disease. Why don't they see that?
Well, and what's intriguing is the most compelling ones are folks who've been, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, a friend of mine who just went through chemo and who is now absolutely fine and actually isn't even using cannabis anymore, I feel like those are the ones that need to, you know, be the case studies in all the books. As you can imagine, this just isn't standard practice in most of the med schools. When I left USC, we were just getting that off the ground, and I'm having a real rough time connecting with folks at Albany Med on this topic, in part because they say med school is just so busy with everything else. I mean, I could do this in a 45-minute lecture. I really don't quite understand either.
Yeah, it's such a shame, and we hope that they'll start to get the message here. You know, I talk to so many patients. It seems so illogical, this budget busting they're trying to do, try to raise money by raising the fees on medical marijuana, not realizing that those poor people on Oregon Health Plan, well, they're going to get off the program, and then they're going to have to go back on pharmaceuticals, and who buys those? The Oregon Health Plan. So it doesn't make any sense, Doc. I don't understand it. All right. We're taking your questions here on our Cannabis Science segment. The phone number is 971-5337, or our chats are starting to stream in. Before we dive in, Dr. Mitch, are there any new studies or stories we need to know about?
As it turns out, this was a crazy week, but right now, so we'll have to talk about things next week.
I love those, too. I get these sometimes in email. Great press release news, but you can't tell anybody yet. Oh, dang it. All right. That's the way it goes. All right, let's go to our phone lines then. We've got a caller calling in from the 760 area code. 760 area code, you're on the air. Make sure you turn down your computer there. And what's your question for Dr. Mitch?
Hi. I have a question about the ratio of THC to cannabidiol. THC gets attention, potent substance, supposedly it leads to the more ecstatic reaction. But as I understand it, cannabidiol is supposed to be neuroprotective. And so, as a consumer, I really wish we had a regulated cannabis so I could see the THC to cannabidiol ratios and choose different products based on that. But is there any recommendation for maybe figuring that stuff out self? Is there any way that I can make sure the stuff I get is better and safer for my brain?
Good question.
As it turns out, it's not so much the ratio as just raw weight of CBD. And I want to emphasize that the THC doesn't really about brain hurting alcohol. A couple of strains that are listed at Project CBD's website, and it's unfortunate that jocular names, but the ones that are showing up to be highest in CBD are all listed there. And now that we've become more aware of this, I know a few growers are starting to try to move back in that direction, but testing for CBD is an expensive process. And again, if we just had a regulated market, there'd be an opportunity to look for this more regularly. I wish I could do more, but at least the ones that are named at Project CBD's website would be a place to start.
All right. Thank you for that question. I appreciate that. Anyone else wants to call in? The number's 971-533-7111. We have a chat question coming in from Purple Hazy, who wants to know, just generally, how is marijuana metabolized, and how are the metabolites stored in your system and released from your system?
Well, so it turns out that it depends upon how it's administered. So smoked cannabis tends to go, right to the lungs and then right to those capillaries. The brain bypasses the liver, and some of the standard ways orally administered substances are metabolized. When you do edibles, essentially, you have this opportunity for the liver to break the THC down into 11-hydroxy-THC, which is actually more potent, goes across the blood-brain barrier more rapidly, and actually ends up being more impactful in that sense. Then all of those metabolites are essentially stored in fat and released relatively slowly into the bloodstream as those fat cells let go of it, so to speak. And the clincher is everybody thinks that means, oh, you're going to suddenly get high in the middle of the day when you're not using or something like that, but that's not the case at all. It leaches out at an incredibly slow rate, which is part of why we don't see genuine THC withdrawal in the classic sense like you do with heroin or alcohol or something like that.
Right, and its fat solubility is part of the problem, too, as far as long elimination and inconsistent elimination, because we always get that question about, well, how long do you have to wait for it? Well, who are you? How tall are you? How big are you? How much did you smoke? How much do you exercise? What do you eat? I mean, there's so many variables.
Exactly, and what's sad but true is compared to, say, the hallucinogens or even the amphetamines and drugs that are markedly more dangerous than cannabis is because of that slow leaching out, it's detectable in the urine much longer. And, generally people email me and say, it's been a month and I've been drinking a gallon. And all I can say is you have to test yourself. But fortunately, some test strips are available on the internet, and you can always do that.
All right. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis science segment. And you can get your questions in here by chat or through our phone line at 971-533-7111. And if you don't get your question in or you'd just like to keep it private, you can always send it by email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. Now, I kind of laughed at my next question pop up on the chat, Dr. Mitch, because really, it's kind of a question along the lines of, if I'm going to hit my thumb with a ball peen hammer, would it be better to hit it with my, on Tuesday or on Wednesday? It's a weird question here, but here it is. I play the 420 Football League, and they're contemplating a rule change. Instead of holding a hit for yards, where they would hold the hit and how many seconds you hold it is how many yard game, instead, all hits will be 10 seconds, and it will be the amount they hold, like 0.1 gram is 10 yards, 0.2 grams is 20, and so forth. So the question is it safer to hold a 0.1 gram hit for 100 seconds or a 1 gram hit for 10 seconds?
Oh. I have to be candid. This is really a bad practice. The THC itself gets absorbed on lungs. Any extra holding is really irritating the opportunity to lung tissue and does not create a better high as much as people argue with me about that. Just hold your breath. But by all means, blow the hit out and then hold your breath for as long as you want. And make that be part of the game, because it would be markedly better for your lungs in the long run than actually holding a hit, and you will be just as high.
There we go. Smoke it in, blow it out, and then hold your breath, and however many seconds you hold your breath, then you get yardage. There's an idea. Harm reduction in the 420 Football League. You got it. All right. Let's go on to a serious question here from Yellowana Cake. She says, in light of the crappy political climate for consumers, can you offer suggestions for patients to keep their stress and anxiety at a minimum?
The clincher here is essentially making that a priority. I hear what I do in a day, and I'm blown away. You're, way busier than anybody, and certainly don't have a motivational syndrome. And so what I would say is, if you took 20 minutes a day, just start with 20 minutes a day to just relax, to just mellow out, listen to music, take it easy. Right? Make your to-do list the night before, and then say, okay, these two things I'm not going to do. I'm going to put them off to the next day, right? Because you guys are so ambitious and so wonderfully productive, but it's taking its toll. And so if you have a chance to exercise, eat right, make sure you have some social contact, make sure you get enough sleep, it's astounding how your mood will improve regardless of your use of the plant, and then suddenly you're not so stressed out. And you've more on stick it to make sure these laws get changed.
Yep, they're forcing me to take my annual 2 month or 2 week vacation here after I get back from saying they force me to go away from computers and weed, Dr. Mitch. It's terrible.
Well, I think it's going to be good for you. And if last year's any indicator, you always come back really sparked up.
I sure do. And I tell you what, it's actually the withdrawal from the computer is worse than the withdrawal from the weed. I got to tell you. All right. We got here. I'm in Iowa. And I'm in Iowa, okay, right there, and was recently diagnosed with glaucoma. Should I bring up cannasol drops with my doctor in Iowa?
It's completely reasonable to mention cannasol drops because they, although they're not distributed here in the United States, they ought to be. And as more and more physicians understand that cannabis-based eye drops are actually among the more effective treatments for this, it would be superb. And this is not a psychoactive thing at all. It's an eye drop that's developed in geometries that really supports the idea of lowering pressures and making sure that glaucoma doesn't turn into something nasty like extreme loss of vision. And then, by all means, go with whatever is recommended. In truth, cannabis is not great for lowering pressures for long periods. I'll know a Jim from West Hollywood and things like that, and he seems to use it pretty effectively. He's got to end up smoking 3-4 times a day. There are actually some medications now with relatively few side effects that will keep your pressures down for 8 to 12 hours, and they may have some advantages even over the plant.
Okay. Time for a couple quick questions here before we round out the hour. And interesting one. This might be more a question for our legal with you and see. We've got a list teen and still lives at home. Is it legal for my parents to drug test me? Interesting.
Well, this is a curious thing. As legal guardianship goes, it's different in different states. So in truth, if they are still your legal guardians, and usually living in their house is an argument for that role, then they can drug test you. I don't think it does wonders for the parent relationship, but from a legal standpoint, it's different in different states, but that's usually the criterion they use.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was Michigan, by the way, but I'll bring that up with the legal folks too. Maybe we got some Michigan lawyers that would. All right. Time for Lover wants to know, can you explain how cannabis causes cotton mouth?
Ah, this is one of those questions that hasn't received a lot of funded research. What a surprise. But in fact, even edibles can cause cotton mouth, which is letting folks hypothesize, at least, that the metabolism of THC probably requires water. And then, what a surprise, you have less water in your system and are essentially thirstier. But, again, we're still in the baby stages as far as that kind of stuff is concerned.
You know, and here's something I'd like this little more research on because, everybody jokes about it, cottonmouth and everything. But there's medical application for this. I think specifically in dentistry. I know all the time in dentistry they're sticking that little vacuum tube to suck out that. You know, it's like, let me go smoke a joint. It will be just fine here. What do you think of that?
Well, and in fact, some Barrister disease, Greg Carter has shown that, they have some real concerns about drooling. And I know that sounds like it's a funny thing, but when you've got all these muscular problems and you don't want to spit on yourself in a social situation, a little bit of cannabis is actually extremely effective.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, not only were the cotton mouth there, but most people have some anxiety when they go to the dentist. Imagine a little green room before you sit in the dentist chair, vaporize a little bit, and then go sit in the chair. I think that would make dentistry a whole lot popular.
They have nitrous and THC? Wow.
Nitrous and THC, it's like a Dead concert, baby.
we should talk to Ganja Dad about this sometime.
That we should. I think we should. Yeah. All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Erlewine joins us every Wednesday for our Cannabis Science segment. And again, thanks so much for adjusting your schedule for us. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us here at Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation, just rounding out this hour. And again, for those of you who joined us late, our breaking news is law enforcement action here in the Washington County suburb, Alloa, the Wake and Bake Club with police dogs, sheriffs, crime tape, hauling out stuff. So, in essence, one of our first raids here in the Portland area, if you want to call it a raid. But this is sheriff's office. This is no report of DEA or anything like this. This is all local as far as we can tell. We'll still be on the air here collecting information live as this story continues to break, and when we get any calls or photographs, we'll put them up here in hour two in our Toker Talk Radio for those listening to us live. For those of you listening on the podcast, thanks for joining us here for this hour, and I want to remind you to check out the Normal Network if you ever get a chance to. It's at live.normal.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And coming up on today's lineup, you are going to get some Irie Wednesday music at 3 o'clock, tonight's replay of today's show at 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock's Daily Toker Tunes, because we're holding that spot there on Wednesdays, coming in July. Just a few weeks away, High Times Free the Flower with Danny Danko podcast is going to be coming.
That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, Wednesdays at 5. That'll be a lot of fun. And then we're also going to have at 6 o'clock Green Central Station. We were just talking about Iowa. Well, we got Green Central Station right out of Iowa, and they will be on at 6 o'clock Pacific Time. John Doe Radio at 7 o'clock Pacific Time. And then at 8 o'clock, replay of the Ganja John Show. And Ganja John couldn't be with us today. He had some medical stuff he was doing yesterday, and he's recovering today. So get well, Ganja John. We hope to see you soon. And for Calico the Intern and Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and let's see if I can make that thing play like it's supposed to. Having trouble running things without Ganja John sometimes, but the Liebermater is helping out. We're getting this all automated, get it all out for you. Thanks for joining us again, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Yeah.
you plant it, you grow it, you cry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it,
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Moana Nation.